Good morning. My name's Judith. We're going to open the Bible now. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, we're on page 801. It's also on the screen. We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 6, and then verses 55 to 57. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And now we move to verse 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
I was picking up my car from the mechanic the other day, and he asked me what I was speaking about this Easter. So I started telling him about the death of Jesus, and we started talking about death, you know, the sting of death. He talked to me about funerals. This is pretty heavy, isn't it? Picking up your car from the mechanic, talking about things that are so heavy. So then he changed the subject and he asked me about my holidays coming up. And I was like, oh, I'm going over. I've got this amazing race in France called Marathon du Mont Blanc. And I'm getting my family and we're taking them out of school and we're going overseas. And you can hear the tone change when you ask me about my holidays versus when you ask me what I'm speaking about at Easter at Good Friday. Because let's be honest, talking about death, it hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's dark. And it stings. But talking about holidays, we want to talk about life. We want to talk about the fun things. I just want to give you a heads up today that we are talking about death. We're talking about the sting of death. We're talking about the pain of death. And that's entirely appropriate to this day because it's Good Friday. The founder of the Christian faith died. And that's what we're here to commemorate. Pretty awful story, really. As you see Jesus hanging on a cross. How did this come to be that a 30-year-old man would end up under the execution of capital punishment? We're not used to that kind of thing here in Sydney. We don't do capital punishment. It's hard to imagine going and standing there to watch what was going on. And it's all about his innocence, like the whole lead up. The judge who was in charge, Pilate, he's washing his hands clean and he's saying, I'm innocent of this man's blood because there was no guilt. There was no grounds for execution. So there's this angry mob just shouting. It was the religious group that basically didn't like what Jesus was teaching. And they just kept coming at him. Jesus hadn't done an act of terrorism. He hadn't done any murder. He hadn't done anything except teach something that the religious community were not happy with. And so in their anger, they took him and no one stood in the way. No one defended Jesus because this angry religious mob was shouting for his execution. This was a public shaming. That's the emphasis of the account, is that they're all yelling at Jesus, you know, shouting abuse. So the religious people walking past are yelling at him. People standing there are yelling at him. When the, you know, the soldiers put the crown of thorns on his head, it's a mockery. They're making a mockery of him before they beat him up. And then off the back of that, Jesus gets lifted high on this cross as public humiliation, and even criminals, the hardened criminals, join the abuse and start, yelling abuse. Darkness sets in, sky turns black, and out of the depression of his tortured soul, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now that's the kind of thing that any of us would be tempted to cry out in the sting of death. You would be questioning everything. Why God? Why? Why me? Why now? Why this way? Why God? Why have you forsaken me? It would be a common cry. But what's surprising is that this is the founder of Christianity. He's the one yelling out, why God? Why have you forsaken me? And with that, he breathes his last breath. He gives up his spirit. And he dies. What a horrible story that brings us together today. You want a dark and gloomy day? This is it. We come to church on Good Friday, unsure whether you're allowed to say Happy Easter. We know we can say that on Sunday, but what do you say on Friday? I've awkwardly said Happy Easter a few times today, and people didn't know what to say in reply. Because there's something significant on this day that makes it a good day. But it's also really dark as we face the sting of death. That's our big theme for today, the sting of death. Death stings, death hurts, and death just crushes our very soul. Let me tell you a story. And I shared this story at a wedding once. A little bit risky talking about death at a wedding. Only a minister would do that kind of thing. But it was like the introduction to my wedding talk once. And I share it because it actually highlights the things, the precious moments of life and what's important. And there's a helpful reflection in there. I want to share this story. It's a story told by Mike DiStefano, who's known in America as a comedian. And it's about the love of his life called Franny. And Franny is terminally ill. She is in hospital and sick. But then she recovers and she gets out of hospital. And then she goes back to hospital and she's sick again. And then she recovers and she's out of hospital. And it's a good day one day. Mike gets the phone call. Hey, guess what? Your Harley Davidson's ready to be picked up. He's excited. But it's a bad day because Franny goes back to hospital. He doesn't know what to do. He picks up his motorbike. He takes it to the hospital. It was a bit of a dream they had together to, have a Harley, to be able to ride it. He goes up there sheepishly and talks to her about it, but she's mad. She's mad about it. He gets confused about what to do. He goes home. He's upset. He comes back the next day to visit the hospital again. And because it's the day later, the morphine's kicked in. She's got this big, drip the pole, the morphine. It's kicked in and she's in good spirits. She's walking around the hospital trying to help clean the hospital. And she looks at him and he says, where's the motorbike? Let's go have a look. So she comes outside. She says, can I sit on it? She sits on it. She says, can you start it up? He starts it up. He goes, let's go for a drive. So he starts driving around the hospital car park and all of the nurses and stuff, they all come out and they're cheering and clapping. And then he hears this bang. He thinks, oh no. But it's because she's thrown the morphine pole on the ground and she's like, let's go on the highway. So they go on the highway. They get up to 80 and she squeals as if she's free. And Mike reflects on that story because not too long after, sadly, she died. And this is what he said. For 10 minutes, we were normal. And that wind just blew all the death off of us. And here I am in Aspen, and I've got TV specials and HBOs and money. But nothing I'll ever do will be that grand. Don't you wish you could blow death away? Don't you wish you could blow death off of a friend so that you could just get another 10 minutes together? But you can't. We're stuck. Under death. It's our enemy. And it stings. And it makes you question everything that exists. How can this be? What's going on, God? Why is there so much suffering, pain, and death? Why me? Why now? Why them? Why, God? Why have you forsaken us? These are questions most of us will ask at some point, and you might be feeling it acutely at the moment. Some of you may be not thinking much about death, but there will be a time where all of us will cry out in the pain and the sting and ask the questions, why? I've no doubt that Jesus' friends were asking these questions as they stood there watching Jesus die. They're thinking, well, what does this mean about the last 3 years of his life? What does this mean about his teaching? What does this mean about his miracles? What does this mean about everything he came to do? I don't understand, God. What is going on? Why, God? Why have you forsaken him? They would never have imagined that 2,000 years later, we'd all put this date in our diaries, call it Good Friday, and gather together at church. That's the twist for them, isn't it? As they're watching their friend die, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? They did not understand what was going on. Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus told them so many times. He told them what was going to happen. He explained it. He said all the time, he said, I've got to die. It's got to happen this way. He didn't try and stop it. Remember when he's on trial, he told them, he didn't speak up for himself. He didn't really defend himself because it was inevitable. He knew that this had to happen. When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's not because he didn't understand what was going on. It's not because he didn't understand the plan. It's because he knew exactly what was happening. God was forsaking him. God was crushing him. Jesus was cursed by God, and he was writhing under the punishment of God, and he tasted the sting of death in every sense of the word. It wasn't just physical torture, it was the shame. It wasn't just the shame, it was the judgment of God. He did it for a reason. Why? What's the plan? Why did he choose this? Why did he let this happen? With the rest of my time, I'm going to try and help you appreciate what his purpose was, what he was trying to achieve. And I say appreciate because I hope that the outcome of today is that we go home more appreciative, more thankful, and that we are here in worship and thanksgiving as we realize what this day represents. I'm going to speak to those few verses at the end of our Bible reading before I stood here to speak. I'm going to pull up those verses on the screen. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a lot in here, and I'm going to pull it all apart so that we can understand those verses. But just a high-level intro, this is what God is doing about the sting of death. God's doing something through Jesus to do with the sting of death. So let's highlight a few different parts of the verse. It says, thanks be to God. This is God's plan. This is God that deserves the acknowledgement. This is God that deserves the praise and the thanks for what brings us together today. Secondly, it says that it was Jesus who brought the plan to victory. Jesus succeeded. He did it. He won. It didn't look like he won when he was there hanging on a cross, dying, gasping for air. On a micro level, he did lose. He lost. He died. But on a macro level, he did it. He did God's plan. He did what he came for. He achieved it. He succeeded. He got the victory. But you say, well, victory over what? And here it says, victory over death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? This is saying that death doesn't get the final victory. Death doesn't get the final sting. And you say, well, yeah, it did because he died. But then that's why we come back on Sunday. Because we believe Jesus rose from the dead. Death did not get the final say. So we're going to come all happy on Sunday and celebrate. That might be a bit more like what you used to if you come to church, where it's filled with joy and thanksgiving. Today is more of a somber day. Today we focus on death. We focus on the death of Jesus and what he was doing through his death for our sake. And I say for our sake because, look, it says God gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying we get the benefit from his death. We get the victory. We are the ones who win as a result of what he's doing. In other words, he's going head to head with the entire problem of death. He's not just dying for himself, he's dying for us. He's going head to head with the problem of death because we're in the clutches of death, we're under the power of death, and he is battling with death to take the sting out of death. What's the sting of death? It explains. The sting of death is sin. And this is where, if you've ever been, you know, stung or bit, whether it was a bee or a wasp or a, you know, some sort of leech or a tick or something, you know, it's the bite that's really annoying, but it's the effects that linger. It's the kind of poison that goes into your system and starts to bring the rash and all the other issues. That's kind of the illustration here. So let me try and explain it. I was down in the bush the other day, just 5Ks from here on the Cascades Trail. I was running through the bush, and when I'm out in the bush, I often see snakes. This particular day, I almost trod on a tiger snake. It was right there, not too far from this church to freak you all out. I was running through the bush, and you go to step up a stair, and at the bottom of that stair was a tiger snake, and it got such a fright, it lifted its head, it flattened its neck, and it went into the strike position. No joke, I was about 1 meter away. So I knew what to do. I'm in a Facebook snake advocacy and education group, so I knew exactly what to do. I was carrying a snake bandage in my belt, like you can picture it, so dorky. I'm carrying a belt with my snake bandage in the back. But I know, instead of running at that point, because they get freaked out by your movement, that you got to stand still. So I stood still. It lowered its head, and it went away. But my heart was racing. Why? Because we know it's not so much the bite. That's freaky, getting bit. That's freaky. But it's not so much the bite itself. It's the poison that goes in and then attacks your vital organs. That's what this passage is saying sin is like. It's the poison that attacks your vital organs that is the ultimate cause of your death. A lot of people think death is natural. Death is nature. In the biblical framework, death is caused by the poison of sin. It's incompatible with life. Sin's worse than we make it out to be. Sin's the rejection of God, the suppression of truth, the corruption of love. And it's incompatible with God, and it's incompatible with life, so sin leads to death. But this is why Good Friday had to happen. And this is why Good Friday is good news. Because Christ died for sins according to the scriptures. That's the summary of Good Friday. What we're meant to recognize when Jesus is dying on the cross is the reason it was so bad is because he was carrying the burden of our sins. The reason it hurt so much is because he was carrying the burden of our sins. The reason that they shamed him so badly is because he was carrying the burden of our sins. And the reason that he suffered under the judgment of God is because he was carrying the burden of our sins. This is the way that he conquered death. It's as if he was blowing the death right off of us. How you wish you could blow death away. How you wish you could blow death off a friend, but you can't. So God sent Jesus to blow the sin right off of you, so that one day he can blow the death right off of you as well. This is what anticipates Easter Sunday. The sting of death is gone because death can't keep you dead. It's like a non-venomous snake. The poison's gone. Death has no sting. And after death, there is life. So next time you go and chat to your mechanic about the morbid topics of death, you'll be able to talk to them with a bit more positivity and hope. You'll probably still be more excited about your holidays and Marathon de Mont Blanc and things like that. Because death is the enemy, but you will be able to speak with hope because Jesus takes the sting out of death. Now, I must say at this point that you have to take hold of it. I want to be really clear that Good Friday is of no value to you unless you take hold of it. It says in verse 2, "By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you've believed in vain." And I highlight that phrase, "if you hold firmly." because there's this empowerment dynamic around Good Friday that says, you've got a choice. What are you going to make of this day? What are you going to do with this day? You're going to take hold of it, or are you going to reject it? It's about what you hold on to. On one hand, you can hold on to the poison of sin and cherish it. Or you can cling to the salvation of Jesus and cherish him. That's the choice that you can make. They're not compatible. Sin and life are not compatible. Jesus came to rescue us from sin. So that if we hold on to Jesus, he blows the sin right off of us and introduces us to resurrection life. So, Good Friday, what do you make of it? Do you believe in Good Friday? I want to draw us to a close with a bit of a story. I said at the start it's going to be heavy. When a minister says it's going to be heavy, it gets really heavy, doesn't it? So as I draw it to a close, I've got another heavy story for you. It's the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You probably know a lot about Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor in Germany during the Nazi regime. And he was in a concentration camp, and he ministered to people there about the hope that he had in Jesus. And this is something that he said as he faced the imminence of his own death. He said, "Death is hell and night and cold if it is not transformed by our faith. But that is just what is so marvelous, that we can transform death." How amazing. When he was literally staring at death in the face, he could say, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" We can transform death as a result of faith. And that day came for Bonhoeffer, sure enough. It was literally a few weeks before the end of the war that without trial, Bonhoeffer was sentenced to execution. And as they collected him to go off to be killed, the last known words that were reported, he said, "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life." How today is a good day? It transforms death. It brings hope. You might be here today as someone who's not a regular at church, not someone who really thinks about Jesus. You might have questions. You might feel like a lot of this sounds like make-believe. Perhaps it's a myth. I want to challenge you. If you reach out in front of you in the chairs, there's books that we're giving away today, and that's specifically for you if you are questioning Jesus, if you are questioning the believability of Easter. So please, that's a gift. Anyone can take a copy, take them home, read, chat about it in your families, among your friends. Is Good Friday a historical event? Did it really happen? Did Jesus rise? Is it believable? But if you're here among many today who believe, then come and give praise to God. Today is Good Friday. And this is God's plan. God deserves all the praise and glory and credit. And we sing and we worship because, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.